now.
I don't know who he is behind that mask of his, but I do know when we need him. And we need him now.
I'll call him, sir.
For some reason, the cool bars in Hollywood have to be hard to find and have no sign.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
Something special this week after a few requests to do another spy special, so I thought, why not play all the songs that we've played on our Spy Vibe special each month with Jason Whiten from spyvibe.com, and we'll put some questions to him as well, and he'll stop by for a bit of a chat. That and a whole lot more coming up on the Cocktail Nation as we kick off with superhero theme players and High Wire.
Nation. Thanks to ultraswank.net. With Barry Gray and UFO. Jason Whiten joins me on the show this week to talk a little bit of Spy Vibe as we play all the tunes that we've played over the last year and a half or so. Jason, what made you interested in the spy genre?
I really fell in love with the spy genre as a little kid when I saw The Avengers on TV and also Wild Wild West. Those two shows were showing in reruns, I suppose, in around 1970-71. I think out of TV out of New York, maybe WOR, Channel 9, which coincidentally is just being demolished, I think, this summer. But as my memory is, I think The Avengers, at least, was on that WOR. And I was just completely taken away by the relationship between Steve and Peele, especially the friendship, the humor, And the way that that show particularly combined a sense of sort of spy style intrigue, but also with fantasy and a little science fiction. I think those elements together are what really make me love the spy genre much more than, you know, actual historical, you know, real spy work was pretty grim, right? But for me, that's where my interest really lies. It's fun. And I suppose, you know, in the same sense that Cocktail Nation focusing on also just really fun sort of lounge and spy jazz, that kind of stuff, crime jazz. There's a sense of fun there. So I really love that show. And Wild Wild West was very similar. At its best, it really had all of those elements of fantasy, you know, and even a little bit of a gothic, I wouldn't say horror, but a little bit of gothic suspense too in Wild Wild West that made it fun. You know, love the characters in that show. Artie, the sidekick, Artie, with his costumes and stuff, was just, as a kid, I just loved him. And I thought Miguelito Lovelace was a fantastic villain. That guy was so charismatic and brilliant. And Paul Dunn, or his last name was Dunn, I think. Just an incredible, incredible actor. And it was fun to talk to Richard Kiel in his later years about working with him. And they made a great team on Wild Wild West. And then Richard Kiel, of course, who played Jaws in the James Bond movies, too. So anyway, the Avengers and Wild Wild West really got it started. And then I think the other earliest thing I saw was The Tenth Victim by Elio Petri, 1965, kind of science fiction mod, spy style, anyway, movie that just really became an obsession of mine. And I think those things really started me off way before I ever heard of James Bond or really got to see Man from U.N.C.L.E. or things like that. So that's where it all started.
So tell me, what do you think are some of the top five movies that really epitomize this genre?
Gosh, the top five movies that probably epitomize the genre for me, I just got to go with faves anyway. You know, again, The Tenth Victim, not strictly espionage work, although there's some espionage-y kind of stuff in it, but very much of the genre of that time, very much of the mid-60s in terms of, you know, sort of the trappings of a spy movie. So that's up there for me. Honor Majesty's Secret Service, I think, is a fantastic movie, and I think it epitomizes the genre and the era. I thought it was great, like a lot of Bond fans. And then, you know, I hate to just throw in a lot of Bond movies, but I think From Russia with Love is a fantastic spy movie, right? It's just really kind of a classic spy, very literary. Beautifully made, great soundtrack. I think that one's way up there. I think, and I'd also throw in Goldfinger, because Goldfinger, you know, really established that formula that so many other movies followed. So I'd have to throw in all three of those Bond movies. And geez, if I had to pick one other spy movie, I don't know. I might have to come back to that one. Those are the things that come to mind. Well, no, actually, I would say one of the Flint movies. You'd have to throw in maybe the two of them as a twofer. The Flint movies were really, really well done. I mean, they set out to make a spoof, and they did such a good job that, I mean, yes, there's clearly spoofy things in it, but it's also so cool that I think it also functions as a legitimate, awesome spy movie of the 60s, those two movies together. So that's my answer. The Tenth Victim, Honor Majesty's Secret Service, From Russia with Love, Goldfinger, and the Flint movies. They really epitomize the genre.
There you go. We're going to hear from Jason Whiten real soon, along with our regulars like the Waterswank Gig Guide and Dear Coop. Well, let's get back to the music right now. Jerry Goldsmith and You're a Foolish Man, Mr. Flint.
Across North America, this is the Cocktail Nation. Elevator up to Cooper's penthouse, www.cocktailnation.net.
With Hugo Montenegro, a man from Uncle, also played Peter Thomas and District X.
On the Cocktail Nation, it is Dear Cooper.
From Thomas in Finland, Dear Coop, I heard you're doing a spy vibe special. Could you ask Jason, for people just getting into spy movies, what are some of the box sets that he might recommend?
I think if listeners are interested in getting into this genre and want to explore some box sets, I would really steer them toward the Avengers Blu-ray box sets that were produced in Europe. They play at the correct speed. They look beautiful, and they just did a stunning job, and there's a lot of great extras. And I would especially start with the black and white season of Diana Rigg playing Emma Peel. That's just a really beautifully made season. It looks amazing and the stories are great. And then if they love it, I would also do the color season with Diana Rigg. The other box sets that I would get would be the complete Danger Man Secret Agent shows that Patrick McGoohan made for ITC, and the UK, playing a character called John Drake. Really brilliant series. These episodes almost play like mini movies. You know, they're very cinematic, very literary, and he was an incredible, intense actor, and that's a great series. I would definitely do that. And then the other series that I would just have to recommend would be The Prisoner, which was McGoohan's sort of, in a way, follow-up to Danger Man and Secret Agent. It wasn't strictly the same character necessarily, but it does follow up in this idea of what happens when a spy tries to, or apparently a spy who tries to resign, what happens to them. And that series, I think it's really the top. I mean, it takes those elements that I mentioned in The Avengers and Wild Wild West, you know, the sort of elements of fantasy and science fiction and intrigue, and it just puts it at a whole artistic level that I don't think any other show has ever achieved. So those would be the box sets that I would go for. If someone wanted to explore movie box sets, Kino has just released pretty recently a box set of OSS 117 films that I think are fun to see. So that comes to mind. But I think that the TV shows are a great way to start.
Back into the music, John Barry and Ipcris File on the Cocteau Nation. Thank you.
Cocktail Nation.
Hello, this is Coop Cooper in the Cocktail Nation Sydney penthouse.
Echo, November, Oscar, Tango, Hotel, Uniform, Mike.
Yes, I understand my mission. To take over the world. No, oh, sorry, I think I read that wrong. To spread lounge music across the globe. Got it.
D'ici ceux de Cocktail Nation with Cooper. Cocktail Nation.
Johnson, the Avengers theme, Ron Greener, and Prisoner theme. A look at Lounge Life magazine. The Innocente 950 Spider, cool or rubbish? This is an interesting story of a car company that mostly did scooters, and then they purchased the Austin Healey designs and decided to create their own special Italian little sports car. And it is a cool little spider, I can tell you. Also in news, film critic Bill Collins, known as Mr. Movies, who brought Hollywood to Australian living rooms, has died at the age of 84. Something like 5 decades he was on our TV, and he's one of the reasons I really got interested in classic movies, because of his absolute enthusiasm. And an unheard Miles Davis album is dropping real soon, so look forward to hearing that. Back into the spy music, and I asked Jason Whiten if he's ever noticed any plot trends in his viewing over the years.
Oh yeah, there's so many tropes that just get used over and over and over again. I would say that the number one trope that comes to mind is the kidnapped scientist story. The missing scientist, the kidnapped scientist, he may or may not have a daughter that the baddies are using as leverage. But you see that story over and over and over and over again throughout spy movies, spy TV shows, and even spoofs. And of course, my favorite spoof version is the Pink Panther movie. And I'm trying to remember which one it is. I think it's the Strikes Back, maybe. The one where Inspector Dreyfus has gone insane and he's become kind of a supervillain with a laser in a castle, like a Bond villain. And, you know, that involves the kidnapped scientist and the daughter as well. So, yeah, that's the one that really stands out. But yes, there are definitely plot trends that get recycled over and over and over again.
Here's Lions Club, theme from The Saint of the Cocteau Nation.
A feast for my eyes.
What about the rest of you?
Bond. James Bond.
My name's Bond. James Bond.
Shaken, but not stirred.
Can't reach.
Thank you.
Just Whiz Cooper.
You're a spy!
An ordinary black leather case with 20 rounds of ammunition here and here.
Why can't you just be a good boy and die?
You first.
You stand for everything I write against.
Well, this should be interesting.
Cocktail Nation.
Secret Service. It is our Spy Vibe special. Check out spyvibe.com for all your spy 60s needs. It's all there for you. A look at the Water Swing gig guide now for pastime album clocks.com. July 7, another vintage garden party scheduled for Nice in France, put on by Jack Newcastle and Sarah Starbuck. July 13, the band After 8 at Forbidden Island. Sundays of the Golden Tiki, Dino a la carte. Trumpeter Brian Newman is playing at Nomad in Vegas. Lots of shows for his After Dark show, so plenty of dates, so check that out. And Palo de Palo, the Lost World exhibition at Maxi in Rome until June 30. And July 27 at Grubby's Bar and Grill, it's the Big Kahuna Bash. Of course, Tiki Oasis coming up in August. Let's get back into the Spy tunes now. Another email question to Jason Whiten. Is there one movie that stands out as the worst from the period?
Well, yeah, I'm thinking. You know, when I think about the very worst movies of the period, I actually think, and I don't want to, you know, this might seem sacrilegious, but I just think about Euro spy movies. I love the posters. I love the you know, all of the sort of PR artwork and design that went around those movies. And oftentimes the soundtracks are really cool. And sometimes they have really great ideas within them, but the movies themselves, just for me, and I'm not a big Eurospy aficionado like some people are, but to me, they all kind of blend together. It just always seems like there's guys like running around and from one location to the next, and I'm not really sure why they're there and how they got there and what the story is about. And it just, they all kind of remind me of watching movies in college in the middle of the night, and you just kind of wake up and you don't remember what happened and what you saw, and you just have this weird impression of, you know, what you saw on the screen. And to me, I think a lot of Euro spy movies just kind of fit into that. And despite their charm and like I said, some of those great elements, I think typically they're pretty poor movies when you compare it to the great movies. No, that's not to say that schlock isn't fun. I mean, I'm a big fan of, for example, that show Mystery Science Theater 3000. And, you know, that's kind of really enjoying bad movies and finding the charm in them. And I think you can do that with Eurospy movies and bad movies. But anyway, that's what makes me think of that.
Here's Leila Schifrin and the Killer on the Cocteau Nation.
It's never worked right. I don't know why we bought it in the first place. Section 3.6, the portable cone of silence.
Tail Nation.
What?
Nation, broadcasting from the center of Sydney.
Tell me where the bomb is. 10 seconds or you're dead.
I have a better idea. How about I simply kill you all? The Cocktail Nation. Always dangerous.
Nation with Raymond Alessandre, theme from The Phantomus. Another email question to Jason Whiten. Is there a white whale that you've never tracked down?
To be honest, there isn't really a white whale for me. My interests are so broad. My curiosity is constantly rotating around 60s stuff, very deeply into the Beatles, very deeply into the trad jazz scene and the skiffle scene, into even the folk scene. I mean, I'm a really big music fan, and my interests also go into comic strip history, comic book history, all sorts of things, Doctor Who, science fiction, Star Trek, things like that. There isn't one single movie that I've just had to find, especially because nowadays so many things have been released. Things that I, when you grow up in an era before video, videotaping, everything was the white whale. And in fact, I may just restart the story right here because maybe this is a better answer to your question. When you grow up in an era before videotaping, everything was a white whale. And in fact, I know that I'm not alone in saying that one of my hobbies as a kid was to read the TV listings at the beginning of every week to see what was going to be on, just to see if you would get a chance to see a movie or a show that you had not been able to see before, or maybe it hasn't been on TV for years. So you'd kind of look down and see, is there any James Bond? Is there any, that kind of thing. And so, what I and many people would do is not only would we seek out these things, but we would often set up a cassette recorder next to the TV and make an audio recording of the movie. And that way you could replay the movie as like an audio drama and kind of keep it fresh and keep it alive. And that was, that and I suppose novelizations were the only ways that fans could kind of relive the experience and keep the experience going. So, everything was a white whale back then, and audio recordings was a way to kind of answer that. I suppose if you were a collector with deep pockets and knew where to go, some people collected actual film prints of movies. But they checked them out of the library, like Martin Scorsese famously, and I think Tarantino would check out actual prints from film libraries and watch them. I would often go to my local library where they had a film collection, And I remember the film librarian there, I think on the weekends, I would go in by myself and he would just set up the projector and show me early Hitchcock movies, because otherwise there was no way to see those back then. So I remember just seeing the earliest, you know, Hitchcock thrillers, the early sort of espionage movies that he made. And that was fantastic. So, you know, before videotaping, everything was white whale and you had to find them the best you could. Now, so much stuff has been released over the years, and my interests are really broad, actually. So I think at this point, there isn't one single thing that I've been wanting to see and track down. But I am a little curious about seeing some of the shows that, like The Cat, THE, The Cat has not been released. That's something that interests me just because I want to see what it's like. And there's a lot of lost shows from the UK, from the BBC especially, because they wiped their tapes to save, you know, to save money. I'm a huge fan of Adam Adamant Lives, which I think is a really fantastic series from the mid-60s that Verity Lambert, I think, worked on. She produced Doctor Who. She was the first producer on that. And I love that show, and a lot of those shows are missing. You know, similarly, a lot of Doctor Who are missing. So to me, I think that if someone found a bunch of film cans in a barn somewhere and there was old episodes of Adam Adamant Lives and Doctor Who, I would be really excited. And like I said, I'd be curious to see what THE Cat was like as a program, because I haven't really seen that.
Back to the music right now, The Cocktail Nation, our spy special for spyvibe.com.
Sexier gal, groovier gimmick, and more out-and-out guts than anything or anyone you've ever seen.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
Felix, how are you? Dink, meet Felix Leiter.
Hello.
Felix, say hello to Dink.
Hi, Dink.
Dink, say goodbye to Felix. Mad talk.
Strike you dumb with just a single glance, or just
just a single glancing blow. Exactly why she slays so many men, no man alive will ever know. Modesty, modesty, she'll turn your head, though she might use a judo pole. And on her shoulders a chip made of solid gold. Of the underworld, you'll be accepted in her queue. She is the perfect mistress of her heart. She is the perfect mistress too. Modesty,
with David and Jonathan, Modesty Blase. Next week on the show, we talk to a new Exotica band. Until then, I'm going to leave you with, I think, a song that sums it all up, the Bond theme. It's John Barry, Stab.